fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Get your lineup set. It's time for Start or Sit.
Let's go.
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Welcome to the show. We are breaking down the AFC home games. We've got seven of them to talk about. Could be some pretty high-scoring games, and I think an interesting one in New York where the Seahawks meet the Jets. Some tough decisions for you fantasy owners. Dave, Jamie, Heath. How about the Heath Cummings trade made this morning? A little bit better than the Heath Cummings trade made yesterday morning, huh?
We'll see. It's a blockbuster.
Is it? Would you call that a blockbuster?
It's a blockbuster.
You traded the top three overall pick?
Yeah. Number two overall for us.
Odell Beckham off your team. Adam, you are dumping Giants at a alarming rate.
Did you trade him for A.J. Green to get the better receiver?
No. No, I did not. I did not do that yet. But we traded Odell Beckham in a league where we own, what, Doug Martin, Ryan Matthews, and we had Amir Abdullah, so and Shane Vereen. We're screwed at running back. We traded Odell Beckham for Doug Baldwin and Devontae Freeman in a half-point PPR league. I think it's a good trade. I think it's a fair trade.
I think it's pretty fair.
Yeah.
I don't have any complaints about it.
I mean, we're 0-3. Sometimes you have to lose a trade a little bit to get back in the league. We couldn't win this week without Devontae Freeman. No. That's what I'm talking about. Overpay for running backs, Heath. You gotta do it sometimes. You gotta bite the bullet.
It's exactly what you were saying before the season.
But you need to win now. You traded for a guy that's got a quarterback with one knee and one ankle.
For now.
He's gonna be fine.
Oh,
he's gonna do physical therapy all through the night, not sleep again. He'll be okay.
Yes, and you traded for a guy that's coming off a great matchup going into his worst stretch of the season.
What? Would you rather start Dwayne Washington over Devontae
Freeman? No, but did you explore every team to make a trade?
No, but it doesn't really work that way.
What do you mean it doesn't work that way?
That's not so easy. It's easier said than done.
Well, I mean, you're trying to improve your team. You should try every way possible.
You know how trade offers work. I don't know these people, so it's not like I can text them and be like, hey, you're going to accept my trade? You know, sometimes they sit out there.
Did you make an offer to every team?
No, we had three trade offers on the table.
Okay, well, you didn't explore all
your
options.
And I offered Beckham for Bell, Beckham for David Johnson. Both got turned down, so we did what we had to do. Anyway, no team goes into the season without a game plan. Buffalo Wild Wings knows that football fans need a game plan that's built for game day glory. A game plan that should include 21 signature sauces and seasonings, a great lineup of beer taps, and an arsenal of wall-to-wall TVs. All of those details make for a game day game plan that can't be beat. So, win or lose, if you're a football fan, you still win at having the best game day atmosphere around. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports, we do it for you because you're a football fan.
You know what the best part about going to Buffalo Wild Wings to watch football is?
What's that?
If, like, your wife's out of town and you have to watch your kids, they give your kids these free tablets to play on.
Really?
While you sit there and drink beer and watch football.
Well, but adults don't get this?
Well, I think you could probably ask for it, but I don't need it. I'm watching football.
Can you get
I need
a
my kid to be distracted.
Tablet?
What?
First of all, your kid should be watching football. Second of all, can you, like, get a game on the tablet to go along with everything else?
No, I want my kid to be playing the game.
You don't want him watching football?
It's okay if he does, but...
I understand, but...
You know. I mean, if your kid starts watching football, what's going to start happening? You're going to spend the entire football game answering
questions.
They're
going to play fantasy, and you've got a wonderful father-son bond for the rest
kids
of
kids love time. Those tablets, don't they?
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's bad, man. It's bad.
It's terrible.
Now, I got a lot of stats I want to give out. Here's a potentially useless stat of the day. 24 running backs this season have had 20 or more carries. Not touches, but carries. Only two have failed to score 10 or more fantasy points in standard scoring leagues. None in week one. One in week two was Lamar Miller, who had 9 fantasy points on 25 carries. And one in week three, Spencer Ware, 5 fantasy points on 20 carries, which included a fumble. Couple of times, yeah, Todd Gurley had 19 carries and 6 fantasy points. Adrian Peterson had 19 carries and 3 fantasy points. So, I don't know. I think this stat came up for me when I was doing the notes for the Seahawks-Jets game. And the running backs are interesting in that game to me, guys. You know, Chris DeMichael at the Jets and Matt Forte against the Seahawks, tough matchups, but both could get 20 carries. So I don't know. How do you approach guys like that with good situations but bad matchups?
You start them.
This week, you don't have a choice.
You probably start them. Like, there are some guys that you did not draft as one or two running backs that we've got ranked ahead of them that if you have as a number three running back, you're going to bench them for.
Such as?
I'd start Jordan Howard over Matt Forte.
That wasn't the one I was thinking of, but I was thinking like LeGarrette Blount. Mm-hmm. I'd start him over either one of those two guys.
Yep.
I'd start Michael over Blount.
I would personally.
But I like them both.
I don't really like Michael this week, but you're kind of stuck.
Yeah, Dave, I was a little surprised at how high you had Michael. You have him as a top seven running back.
Looks like the Seahawks are going to get back Afidi at right guard. I think that's good. And I just think that the defense for Seattle will help determine the game flow. And with Russell Wilson banged up, they will lean on Christian Michael again.
Yeah, but think about game flow last week when Ryan Fitzpick six was throwing six interceptions and Spencer Ware was still bottled up.
Spencer Ware had 20 carries for 75
I think he's a better
yards.
Running back than Spencer Ware.
Spencer Ware was one of the players that had the 20 carries and didn't get the double-digit fantasy points, and it came against the Jets.
He's really – Spencer Ware, I know we're not supposed to talk about him now, but he's starting to suck.
Well, that's good for Jamal Charles.
Well, yes, I don't know. I think he's been the same. It's just he's playing without both of his starting right and left guard.
I thought the right guard had been playing.
They both missed two games ago for sure.
Who did Kansas City play in week two?
Kansas City in week two played at Houston.
So they had at Houston and home against the Jets in their last two games. It's not easy.
Right.
But it's good for Jamal Charles still. All right, how about these stats? Tell me if you buy these stats. Here are the top seven pass defenses in the NFL in yards per game. Kind of funny. Houston, Seattle, Baltimore 3, Denver, Carolina, Arizona, Jacksonville 7, seventh fewest passing yards per game. Baltimore 3, Jacksonville 7. Do you buy them as good pass defenses?
Baltimore, no. Look who they played.
Right.
I mean, their schedule's been so easy to start the season. Jacksonville's defense, I think, is doing what they hoped it would do. It's their offense that's been completely miserable.
I know, weird.
Their defense, you know, I was actually listening to John Clayton on the radio this morning, and he was asked about Gus Bradley being fired, and he said, which I think is somewhat accurate, I think they're going to fire their offensive coordinator if they lose this game, not Gus Bradley, that their defense has made enough progress that you could say his job right now is somewhat safe, but the offense has just been terrible. Like, if you were to say defense is where it's at right now, and the offense, at least, you know, statistically from a year ago, they should be better than where they are.
And I think that using yards per game without considering any other stats is not a very good way to measure pass defenses.
That's true.
I think you want to look at yards per attempt. You want to look at interceptions. You want to look at how many touchdowns they've given up. Things like that factor into it a lot. Now, a lot of those teams, the Cardinals, Broncos, and Texans are the top three in yards per attempt. The Ravens are fourth.
You know, the Ravens, they haven't played an easy schedule, but I remember Jason Lockenfora's team preview for them, and he said that the Ravens felt their pass defense was going to get a lot better, partially because of Eric Weddle, but also they just felt like everybody in their secondary would play better.
And so, they're healthier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you can declare it a victory yet, but
I was talking to Prisco about this, Pete Prisco about this earlier this week, and he said the nice thing about, you know, doing film review is their interior guys have been awesome.
Yeah.
And their ends haven't come together yet. You know, Doomerville's been out and Suggs.
Right, and he's
coming
back.
And he kind of lucked into some sacks last week against the Jaguars. But he said once those guys start playing better on the outside, on the ends, that this defense could be really good.
How about this stat? Pittsburgh against pass catching running backs this year. Two games allowing over 100 yards to a pass catching running back, Giovanni Bernard and Darren Sproles, both had 100 yards and a touchdown against Pittsburgh. So does that mean anything to you for whichever Chiefs running back you might want to start on Sunday?
Well, I mean, you know Ware's going to be involved in the passing game regardless.
Yeah.
Assuming he's the only guy.
What if Charles plays?
Yeah, then I think you get a little bit split situation.
Like, if there's a role to ease him back into, wouldn't this be the role to do it?
Sure.
And Pittsburgh's banged up on defense. They're banged up everywhere, but especially on defense. Shazier might not play. Mm. Two of their three safeties that they use look like they're going to miss the game. They're in a little bit of hot water right now.
I'm skeptical of that with the small sample size and the specificity of it. I would say that tells me that Pittsburgh's probably not doing a very good job with their linebackers in coverage, which would mean that I wouldn't mind playing running backs or tight ends against them. But they've been pretty good against the run.
They have. Yep.
Did Gio have a big catch in that game against them? Because I know Sproles had
the touchdown catch was a long one.
It was a long one.
Yeah.
So that's what they're giving up. It's just big plays to those running backs.
Yeah, maybe a little fluky. Kind of hard to depend
on
that.
But what? Gio had five catches and Sproles had six?
I think Gio had like nine.
In that catches?
I think he had a ton of catches.
Yeah, he did have nine.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that game. And I was going to give a stat about the Jets, but we already talked about those running backs. So let me just tell everybody about fantasy football today. Monday through Friday, noon Eastern on CBSSports.com. It's a live video show. It's awesome. And then on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to 1 p.m. Eastern, Fantasy Football Today. We actually have video programming all throughout the day. We have halftime shows. If you go to like the game tracker on CBSSports.com for any game, you'll see some halftime content. We have a Sunday night show. So go to CBSSports.com. There's great stuff. If you need more podcasts, we have a fantasy basketball podcast. We have a Roughing the Passer NFL podcast, which is awesome. If you need some picks and some analysis, we have SEC on CBS, which I really like a lot. And I talk general college football as well. Just go to CBSSports.com/podcast to learn more about our shows and ways to subscribe. And our radio show, Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. This is great. I mean, it's so fun to do the show and to hear you people, you podcast listeners, call in. Because, you know, so many of the listeners on the radio show are podcast listeners. Somebody called up on Saturday and said, "Hey, what's up, DJ Milk and the Forerunners?" So we get some good, inside jokes, and it's 10 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports Radio until midnight. Here's your email of the day. It's from Don. Dave, where's Don from?
Don is from
Topeka?
No, Sacramento.
Okay. Don says, "On Tuesday's podcast, Jamie said he agreed to a trade just because he likes Dave. An owner agreeing to a trade because it helps a friend? That's collusion. As commissioner of a league for 13 years, I would veto any trade if I knew a person was making a trade to help a friend and not better his own team." Jamie, what is up with that?
Hey, Dave caught me at the right time.
No, I think that's Jamie trying to justify why he made the deal.
Well, no, I would like the deal back if I could.
I know you would, but
I think we should kick Jamie out of the league.
I think you thought it was a good trade.
I didn't think it was a good trade. I was trying to help you.
In fact,
you didn't think it was a good trade?
No. Jamie is,
why would you try and help me?
No.
I don't know. You seemed like you seemed a little sad about it.
If Jamie is known to have committed collusion with Dave in one league, I think that any league the two of them are in together, we're going to have to do something about.
Agreed. Like any trade that even doesn't involve them probably had something to do with them.
Yes, true.
Probably told other owners to do. Yeah, I don't like a bad situation. Here's my failed Twitter poll from yesterday. I don't know if this counts because I had a pretty big typo. I don't know if people quite understood what I was trying to say, but you tell me. I said, if you were trying to continue a conversation from yesterday, if you were drafting today, starting a new league for the rest of the season, when would you drop Rob Gronkowski? Season starts in week 4. Obviously, I meant when would you draft Rob Gronkowski? do you think people knew what I meant?
I don't know.
What percentage of the polls were "you're stupid"?
I didn't put that, but the options were picks 1 through 6, picks 7 through 12, and picks 13 plus.
So is that a Freudian slip from Adam Azer?
I don't know. I feel like you had to figure out. They knew what I meant, right?
Or are you predicting doom for Rob Gronkowski? You think everybody should drop him?
Well, I will say,
very nice.
I would say I was surprised at the results. 1,700 votes. 5% picks 1 through 6, 29% picks 7 through 12, and
what'd I tell you?
66% second round or later. Was surprised.
I'm not. No one else is.
Guess not.
Now, Jamie looked it up and told you yesterday that it was outside of the top 12.
Well, that was
rankings.
Yeah.
People haven't ranked that.
Well, I still don't agree with it. I still think he's a top 12 player. But all right, then.
Yeah, but you just traded Odell Beckham for Doug Baldwin and Devontae Freeman.
I'm 0-3. What choice do I have?
You could start James White at running back.
Yeah, right. That'd be a great option.
I didn't say it would be great. I'm just saying you could.
That's not going to
happen. So you know what's going to happen now is James White's going to like have one of those weird, crazy games where he has a long run for a touchdown. Devontae Freeman will get bottled up by the Panthers, and Odell will go off.
Odell's going to – well, I don't know about this week. Gosh, Minnesota's so good against number one wide receivers.
I know. And it's not like we're telling people to sit Odell Beckham. I'm just saying that it's – but knowing you, it's just going to – karma will work against
we're
you.
We're done. I mean, we're done. That team sucks.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If you go 0-4, are you going to just ignore the league or are you going to try and get the first win ignore the league?
I'm already ignoring the league.
He's already out. He's out.
Yeah, he's pretty much out. I've more or less taken over.
You can't go 0-13.
As soon as Adam – drafted a Giant number 2 overall, I was done.
Yeah, Victor Cruz number 2 overall was a bit of a reach.
But you can't go 0-13.
We're not going 0-13. Listen, should I clarify my AJ Green stuff? My Odell Beckham AJ Green comment?
No, you've clarified it plenty.
I don't think
everybody
I have.
Knows exactly where you stand.
All right. Well, for you know, just to be clear, you guys probably thought I meant Bengals wide receiver AJ Green. Who I really meant was AJ Green, who spells his name G-R-E-E-N-E. He was a defensive back for the Giants in 1991. He played 1 year. I think Beckham is a lot better than that guy. So that's why there was confusion out there.
Wow, bad Twitter poll, bad joke.
Not funny? Not funny? No, all right, fine. This is what I... All right, if you don't want to bring it up. Jamie, did you want to bring it up or no?
No.
All right.
You made your point. I don't think it's a right or wrong on either side of it. They're both great players.
Yeah, okay. It works for me. Let's go to the news and notes. Dez Bryant, fracture in his knee. Could play this week, could miss some time. Devontae Parker or Dez Bryant?
Parker. You got to play Parker, yeah.
It's going to be Parker.
I think you've got to be concerned about this injury for Dez. There's already some speculation that this is a multi-week injury. It would make sense. When's the last time somebody played through a fracture?
Well, that's the thing I don't understand is, like, usually when you're playing through them, it's a pain tolerance issue. And I'm not a doctor, but if you have a bone that's has a small fracture in it, that would seem to make the bone more likely to break.
And if it's in your knee, like, and this is where defenders are tackling you.
I mean, I'm who
like
knows?
Scientifically, I don't. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe a doctor.
If he were
tell
a long snapper, I'd say, okay, go ahead and give it a shot. But if you're gonna be a receiver and somebody goes low, that thing could end up cracking like a vase.
How many weeks until Romo's back? What do you say?
3 to 4.
3 to 4 weeks. The timetable is 3 weeks on Dez. Yeah. Let them come back together
right.
And try and make a run for the final 8 or 9 games.
Dak doesn't need him anyway. He's got Cole Beasley.
I mean, Dak's, I just like listening to Dak when he gives these answers. I don't even know who I'm throwing to.
yeah. But Beasley's 45% owned.
Isn't this bad news for Beasley?
Yes.
Like, big time?
They just have to establish the passing game on the outside, and it'll be right back to normal.
It's got
to
be Terrence Williams.
Terrence Williams Ugh. And Bryce Butler.
Terrence Williams is 14% owned.
He was a disaster last year when he was put in the number one spot.
But he had Brandon Weeden. He had Matt Cassel. They were awful. I mean, look, you're trying to steal a win here to get some points. Like, should you pick up Terrence Williams? He's 14% owned.
Deep league, yes. I think where Cole Beasley's available, that's the guy you go get because he's going to just get catch after catch after catch. He's, you know, 20 of 23 targets right now.
He's going to get knocked out.
Did you move Jason Witten up your rankings?
He's been up in my rankings. I actually love the matchup for him.
But he's not getting targets. That's the problem for him.
Yeah, he didn't.
And now with Collins out, they're using him more as an offensive lineman.
That's a good call.
All right. So Kenneth Dixon, 45% owned. He's targeting week 5, which would be against the Redskins. Eric Decker is going to have an MRI on his shoulder. Who's more of a must-add for you? Quincy Enunwa, 53% owned, or Cole Beasley, 45% owned?
So this week, it's got to be Beasley.
Yeah.
It can't be Enunwa against Seattle.
And it's not a known thing right now if Decker's going to miss even this game, but, you know, miss a lot of time. So
if it comes out today that the MRI was bad and he's going to miss multiple weeks, I think it's Enunwa.
Easy. Totally.
Right. I think you might want to get him now if you can, just in case there's bad news.
Yeah, if you have a roster spot that you're, you know, kind of playing with, that's what you got to go pick up.
Who's going to start a quarterback for New England?
Tom Brady.
Brissett.
Jimmy Brissett.
I think they're thinking it's Garoppolo.
It might be Jacoby Garoppolo.
Pete Carroll expects Russell Wilson to play at the Jets. Jay Gruden concerned about Josh Doctson's Achilles injury. That's not really relevant for him, but maybe relevant for Crowder. I don't know.
I don't think it's relevant for Crowder. I think it's relevant
for
Garoppolo.
Yeah, Crowder's
got
his role.
Yeah.
Okay. The Seahawks signed CJ Spiller. Do you care?
More catches rest of season, Thomas Rawls or CJ Spiller?
Some,
he could get cut as soon as their other running backs get out.
Well, ProSize could miss 3 weeks. I think that's the timetable you're looking at with Spiller.
Okay. So it's just some offensive line injuries. Brandon Albert might not play tonight for Miami, their left tackle. He'll be
a big one.
Decision. Yeah. Alex Boone expected to play for the Minnesota Vikings Monday against the Giants. They already have Matt Khalil on IR.
I didn't realize for tonight's game that Koemisi and Jelani Jenkins may also not play. For the Dolphins linebackers.
That's
so
really
Hill
good news for Jeremy Hill.
Big day.
Baltimore could be without their left tackle and left guard. Indianapolis could be without their starting right tackle and right guard. Giants cornerbacks Eli Apple and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, probably at least one and probably both going to miss the game. And Rashad Jennings, guys, he apparently is unlikely to play at Minnesota. How do you feel about Orleans Darkwa?
Well, I mean, this matchup just screams Orleans Darkwa all over it, you know, for a great, great game.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that might get 15 carries and 51 yards.
Yeah, he's going to struggle.
All right. Do you expect this week Jamaal Charles at Pittsburgh?
I think this week there's a chance.
All right.
Based on what they're saying in Kansas City about him practicing with the starters and Andy Reid starting to sound a little more optimistic. The question is, do they want to do it a week before the bye? And if they do it a week before the bye, does that mean that they're just going to get his feet wet?
Right.
So I just don't know what to expect.
I've been instructed to never doubt Adam Teicher again, and he tweeted out last night that he would be very surprised if Charles plays before he's a full participant in practice.
Okay.
And he was not a full participant in practice yesterday.
Interesting.
So we'll see.
All right, we'll get to that game. Do you expect Jay Cutler against Detroit?
No.
Not yet.
No.
Delanie Walker at Houston?
Nope.
Mohamed Sanu against Carolina?
I think so.
Yes.
Willie Snead at San Diego?
He practiced on Wednesday. So
I think he's limited, right?
Huh?
Limited, right?
He was limited in practice, but I would suggest he's on track to play.
He had a quote in an ESPN article last night. I feel really good. I just needed another day to get ready. My focus is to get better, get treatment, and hopefully be ready for the game.
Anything about his hair?
Michael Floyd against the Rams.
I think we'll find out tomorrow.
He was cleared for non-contact practice.
Yeah. So he's on track to play.
I don't think he's totally out of the protocol.
No, he's on track.
Devontae Parker or Michael Floyd?
Parker. We'll find out tomorrow.
No. Parker's place tonight.
You're right. Parker.
Hey, guys, look, to be honest with you, I never thought I would need a made-to-measure suit, but over the past few years, I've started to realize that I needed to dress better. It's important. It really does matter. And guys, if you have a job interview, a wedding, some type of event, or you just need to wear suits, you need a made-to-measure suit that fits you perfectly and just straight up blows away those generic off-the-rack suits. It's not even close. I've got my suit now. I can tell you it's just so much better. But the problem, the suits are expensive. It's tough to drop $800 on a suit. I'm not going to lie. Now, Indochino gives you this awesome opportunity to get your custom suit for just $389. That really is an amazing deal and a really amazing suit. So use our offer code FFT. And by the way, your satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Please check it out. Indochino.com. IndoCHino.com. Here's how you do it. You go to Indochino.com or you visit one of their showrooms. Get up to 50% off any premium made-to-measure suit. Enter FFT at checkout. Shipping is free. So a premium suit for $389 with free shipping and satisfaction guaranteed. So worth it. Make it happen at Indochino.com. I absolutely love my suit. You will too. Get ready to look like $1 million at Indochino. Two you like and two you don't. Let's go to Dave's too. Joe Flacco against Oakland and Travis Benjamin against the Saints. So you guys, kind of interesting. You have Flacco, I think you have Flacco 10, Derek Carr 11, all three of you, and they are playing each other. I'm going to give you a negative on Joe Flacco, Dave, and you can rebut, all right?
Sure.
Joe Flacco has played three games, and in all three of those games, he has done the worst against that opponent. In other words, you know, of nine games, those three opponents against three quarterbacks, Joe Flacco's done the worst, except for Arizona against Buffalo. He did better than Carson Palmer against Buffalo. So
everybody did better than Carson Palmer.
Yeah. So he really hasn't done that well with the matchups, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I understand what you're saying. And last week was a little disappointing that he didn't have any touchdowns and he had two interceptions against Jacksonville. We're talking about back-to-back road games for Flacco where he has a couple of interceptions, but we've always known that Flacco tends to play better at home. The first thing I want to check is that offensive line, because if the offensive line isn't healthy for him, then I reserve the right to change my opinion. But the Oakland secondary, I'm still not buying that they're good just because they did a nice job against Marcus Mariota and the Titans last week. They're on the road for the second week in a row. It's a cross-country trip. These two teams played early last season, and I believe they combined for 70 points.
Oh.
And Flacco had a monster game.
384, 2-1.
Yeah, so almost 400 yards and two touchdowns. I could see something similar here because the Ravens' run game is non-existent, and Flacco is where it all flows through. So it's a tough week at quarterback. If he's got good pass protection, I like him a lot this week. I think he could actually come through with over 300 yards. And
you guys like Flacco over Russell Wilson?
Yes.
Yes, for sure.
Okay. Flacco over Andy Dalton?
I've got it ranked that way right now. I really am uncomfortable with it.
Why?
Sure. Oh, yeah, why?
Well, I mean, Andy Dalton has AJ Green. Joe Flacco has Mike Wallace.
Andy Dalton's at nighttime.
Yeah, AJ Green's not
that, and on a short week.
AJ Green's not that good, Heath. Didn't we establish that?
Yeah, I think we did. Like Mike Wallace over here.
I mean, when was the last time Joe Flacco was better than Andy Dalton?
2 years ago.
Probably three, wasn't it? 2 years ago was when Dalton was top five, right?
No.
Was that 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I think Dalton's a better quarterback.
Dave, Travis Benjamin against the Saints. How much do you like him?
I like him plenty. I do think this is a game where the Chargers can lean on Melvin Gordon, and Gordon's going to have a monster week. But Phillip Rivers threw for a lot of yards last week, didn't throw a single touchdown. I love the bounce back opportunity against the Saints, who have to go on the road, play outdoors on grass against the Chargers. San Diego at home, I think they bounce back with a nice win. And I think Travis Benjamin's speed can make a difference in this game. Boomer bust type of play at wide receiver. Definitely somebody who I think can be either a good flex option, maybe even good enough to be a number two receiver in non-PPR. I think he's made it as a number two receiver in PPR. A lot of upside there, and I think there's a pretty high floor, too.
Yeah, actually, you're high on him, but you're the lowest. So Dave has Travis Benjamin around 20th, 23rd in standard, and Heath and Jamie a little bit higher on Benjamin, but everybody has him as a number two wide receiver. Jamie, who do you like better? One of the guys that you like this week, Michael Crabtree at Baltimore or Travis Benjamin?
Benjamin, but I like Crabtree a lot. I mean, you see the targets haven't really disappeared for him as much as Cooper has been targeted more. Crabtree's still been heavily involved, and this is a good situation for him. There's been one receiver in every game against Baltimore, or the last two games against Baltimore, that's had a big game. Hopefully it's Cooper, but Crabtree can very consistent, 10, 9, and 10 in terms of his fantasy points in three straight games. So you just like the way that he's continuing to produce week in, week out in some way, shape, or form. You know, the two-point conversion week one, big game, I think it was 2 weeks ago, scored a touchdown last week. So one of these two receivers, I think, will have an opportunity for a big play, if not a big game. I hope it's Cooper, but I still think Crabtree is a very safe number two receiver.
Crabtree has had at least 8 fantasy points in every game so far this year.
9.
Yeah, 10, 9, and 10.
10, 9, and 10. I forgot about the two-point conversion.
Yep.
You're right. In week one, he had that. And he's got a lot of targets, like Jamie said. Would you care for a little bit of Pro Football Focus nerd speak?
Sure.
On Michael Crabtree. Crabtree has lined up mostly on the right side of the formation for the Raiders. Given what we've seen from the Ravens this year, that means he would see a lot of Sharice Wright. Sharice Wright is the reason why the Ravens are giving up a lot of touchdowns to the air. He allowed 2 last week. And then 1 the week before, so 3 in his last 2 games. He is a liability on that defense.
Mm.
And I think that this is somebody who could be a red zone factor for the Raiders. So I like Crabtree, good enough to call him a bottom of the barrel number 2 fantasy wide receiver this week.
All right, that's a good stat there. Kobe Fleener, going to try to make it 2 in a row here for Kobe Fleener. He's number 5 for Dave and Jamie. He's number 8 for Heath at San Diego. You like Kobe Fleener this week, Jamie?
Yeah, I'll move him down a little bit if Snead plays, but I think you look at the targets have been consistent through 3 games. And, you know, again, if it's the thought process being not knowing what he's doing and getting more comfortable, and that was the rhetoric coming into last week's game, it showed. And so if he's feeling even more comfortable coming off of that situation, Breeze feeling more comfortable with him, I think this game's going to be a shootout. I don't buy into the safety and linebacker play for the Chargers, especially now Manti Te'o out. So you're looking at that middle of the field should be wide open, especially with how well those cornerbacks play. And Brandon Flowers may not play also in this game. He was hurt for the Chargers last week, so that'll make that secondary even worse, which hopefully will help Brandon Cooks. But I think just the opportunity where if Cooks is dealing with Verrett and Breeze is staying away from that for whatever shape or form for a couple of targets, Fleener, I think, is going to be wide open and enjoying that wide open middle of the field.
I'm really interested to see Verrett against Cooks, because Hilton turned him inside out in every which way, but I don't know what the saying is.
Yeah, at home on turf. If Cooks is at home, I don't think there's any concern.
Right. I'll be interested to see if Verrett struggles to stay with him like he did with Hilton, because they're kind of similar types of receivers.
Chargers allowed 100 yards to Colts tight ends last week. 89 yards and a touchdown to Jaguars tight ends.
They've struggled with them. They're just having up touchdowns.
Right. 94 total yards to tight ends in week one against Kansas City. So there's a chance there for Kobe to keep it going.
All right, let's go to the two that Heath likes. Will Fuller for Houston and Giovanni Bernard.
Well, I thought I liked Will Fuller because I was higher on him than Jamie in the rankings, and I didn't even notice where Dave was because he wasn't on the same screen when I was looking at it. Dave likes him a lot more than I do. I said I would admit after week 2, if he was good again, he was good again.
And I think that Houston may have to throw the ball a little more. I don't expect their defense to be every bit as good without J.J. Watt. I think it probably doesn't affect Lamar Miller too much in PPR because they're still going to throw the ball to him a lot. But I believe the J.J. Watt injury is good for the fantasy value of both Fuller and Hopkins.
Yeah, now Fuller facing Tennessee. Tennessee's given up a touchdown to Anquan Boldin and Seth Roberts in their last two games, and they've also given up an additional 100-yard receiver in both games. So they've been really bad against wide receivers recently as Houston hosts.
And his two best games have come at home.
And his one bad game was at the Patriots, and that was, they all played poorly.
I can't imagine there being a lot of pressure on Osweiler.
No. And you like Gio Bernard tonight, Heath.
I do. I know it's a Jeremy Hill game. That's okay. I expect Bernard to still have success. I don't think the Dolphins' defense is any good. And I think the Bengals are going to put a whooping on him.
I think I saw a headline in the Miami Herald that was like, ugh, Dolphins' run defense worse than it was last year. It's bad there. They had one of the worst
run defense in the NFL. What are they good at?
Well, if they're down with those two guys, the two linebackers, that's just makes it even worse.
It's just because they won't be able to stop Hill on the ground, and who's going to cover Bernard?
It's just a matter of getting past those big guys up front for them, and so far teams have been able to do it.
All right, guys.
Think, though, if Bernard has some plays in the passing game, then that does make Dalton much better because the rest of the receiving corps is just terrible.
Yeah, let's try to go through the dislikes quickly so we can get to the games here. Heath, you don't like DeVante Parker and Matt Forte.
Expect the Bengals to be fired up defensively tonight. Home game coming off an embarrassing performance. Got perfect back. I don't want to start the number two or maybe even number three receiver against that. And then Forte, in some places you're going to have to start him. But I mentioned LeGarrette Blount, Isaiah Crowell, Frank Gore. Those are all number three running backs I'd rather start over Forte.
All right, Jamie, you do not like Russell Wilson at the Jets or Frank Gore in London.
There we go.
Huh. Go ahead, Jamie.
Yeah, I think Wilson with the knee injury, he hasn't played well. I don't think you're going to see him come into New York on a long trip, early start, and all of a sudden turn things around.
Boy, I hope he has a bad game because then the buy low on him.
Well, especially with their bye week.
Exactly. Yeah. People who have Russell Wilson in your league are going to say, you know what? He sucks. Let's move him. And you're going to be able to get him for cheap.
I think only two quarterbacks did well at the Jets last year. I can check that up.
Jarrell Revis got hurt in practice. I know that Jarrell Revis isn't really a thing anymore, but he got hurt in practice yesterday.
There are
some things that are trending Russell's way, I have to tell you.
The Jets have been terrible against the past year.
Yeah. They have been, yeah. Only two quarterbacks scored more than 15 fantasy points at the Jets last year, but they played such an easy schedule last year.
And I'm still fine starting Doug Baldwin. I'm not really concerned about him.
Okay. And Dave, the two that you don't like are Brandon Marshall. That's interesting. And Jeremy Maclin. Would you start Doug Baldwin over Brandon Marshall?
I would start Baldwin over both of these guys. I would start Will Fuller over both of these guys too. I'm worried about with Marshall is just how healthy he is.
Practiced in full yesterday.
So that combined with Eric Decker not playing could move him up quite a bit. And so maybe he will be a guy that I'm okay starting and not necessarily slam dunk sitting. His volume could be there.
Yeah, he's going to get force fed.
But Seattle's going to know that. And I think this is a defense that travels just fine. And Ryan Fitzpatrick's never had a good game against this defense. I think Marshall could disappoint you. PPR probably a lot safer. And then Maclin, if he doesn't score, what is he giving you? 60 yards?
The only thing, I kind of agree with you, but the only thing is this probably sets up as a pretty good game script for him. The only time that Alex Smith force feeds him is when the Chiefs are behind. I would expect the Chiefs to be behind in this game.
I'm not sure they're going to be behind in this game because there are a lot of issues going on with the Steelers offense that could slow them down. The one thing that does work, obviously, is Le'Veon Bell coming back. I don't know if that means that Jeremy Maclin's going to get a ton of targets just because Bell does his thing.
Now, week two against Cincinnati notwithstanding, the Steelers do struggle with number one wide receivers. 100 yards to DeSean Jackson,
speed.
And then two catches for 19 yards and a touchdown for Jordan Matthews. I don't know what to say about that, but they shut down A.J. Green.
Maclin could get 20 or 30 yards with a touchdown. I guess that would be close to the ceiling for him.
Okay.
A higher ceiling than that.
Yeah, I mean, his 60 yards and a touchdown is... And he's been around 67 yards every time.
I don't want to start him. I'm just...
I don't like Maclin this week, but he's being force-fed targets. I mean, that's the one nice thing if you're looking at it. And if he scores, I think the thing about him is he had, four 100-yard games last year. He missed the Steelers game last season because of an injury. He's just a number three receiver.
Blake Bortles, number 12 for Jamie, number 18 for Dave, number 13 for Heath, as we go to the first of our AFC home games today. And, of course, we did the Thursday night game on yesterday's show. But Bortles, he's been struggling. Interceptions all over the place. How much do you trust him this week? Would you start Flacco over Bortles?
Yes.
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 Would you start Tyrod Taylor over Bortles?
No.
No.
I'd rather go with Bortles.
All right. So Bortles is not a horrible start this week?
He's a borderline start and a bad week for quarterbacks.
Yep.
How about the Jacksonville running backs? Actually, you got to give the Colts credit for what they've done against C.J. Anderson and Melvin Gordon. 3.7 yards per carry and 2.2 yards per carry in their last two games. And what do you do with the Jacksonville running backs this week?
You don't use them.
I almost hope that Ivory sits.
Yeah, even so, I mean, Fieldon's a flex play at best, and I am not going to feel comfortable with it. Their offensive line's awful.
Well, they're getting Beachum back. Kelvin Beachum's going to play.
That's better for Bortles than it is for
them. No, but it helps. It would be nice if they get Linder back, too.
They could.
They could get him back. So would you start Frank Gore over the Jacksonville running backs?
Oh, yeah. Even if I could combine both the Jacksonville running backs.
Yeah. But Gore does not play well against Jacksonville. Didn't play well against them last year. And their run defense has actually been pretty good.
How about we'll stick with the Jaguars first, then we'll go to the Colts. Allen Robinson, top eight wide receiver in both formats. You got to start him. Number one wide receivers have had 80 or more receiving yards in all three games against the Colts. That's Marvin Jones, Demaryius Thomas, and Travis Benjamin. But so far, the Colts have not allowed a touchdown to a wide receiver. Still, you're starting Robinson. What about Allen Hurns, guys? Would you consider starting Allen Hurns? How about Dave, since you're the low guy on, or you are, actually you're all fairly low on Brandon Marshall. Would you start Allen Hurns over Brandon Marshall?
I would not start Allen Hurns over Brandon Marshall. I don't see any reason to have Hurns in a lineup at this point.
Okay.
Keep him on the bench. Very, very nervous about how he'll do. And Indianapolis' secondary is getting healthy. So if they've managed to keep receivers out of the end zone so far.
Maybe their backups are better than their starters.
Well, in the case of Vontae Davis, I'm going to say hell no. In the case of Patrick Robinson, I'll say probably. But Patrick Robinson's coming back nonetheless. I don't think Hurns is getting the opportunities that we want. And I think the matchup isn't nearly going to be as good. And his quarterback isn't as good. So sit Allen Hurns.
His numbers when Julius Thomas is healthy are just not good.
I view him as kind of a YOLO play. Costos would say. I would start him over Devontae Parker.
I would not.
You would?
Yeah.
Wow.
The one nice thing about Hurns is he has 18 targets in his last two games. He's caught half of them for 104.
And how many has Marquise Lee had over that same span?
Marquise Lee has 14 targets over his last two games.
Yeah,
so five catches in both games.
It's not the same thing like last year.
No.
They're using their other guys. And again, Thomas showed up on the injury report yesterday with an elbow problem. So if Thomas were to miss this game, that would significantly help Allen Hurns.
Would it help Hurns or would it help Lee?
It would help Hurns.
Speaking of Thomas, top 10 tight end for you guys, but is that kind of by default, or do you feel good about
it? I don't feel good about it at all. And this is a guy who hasn't been getting targets comparatively to Lee and Hurns.
Well, he did the first
last 2 weeks. No. He caught 5 of 5 in week one.
That's not bad for a tight end.
Yeah. 7 in week two, 5 in week three, but he's caught 6 of his last 12.
Okay.
2 catches, 13 yards last week.
I don't feel bad about it.
Makes me want to flush.
Okay. Andrew Luck, top 5 quarterback. You're starting Andrew
Luck. It's a homecoming for him.
Get it going. Oh.
Yes, he lived in London for a few years.
Interesting. Okay, Frank Gore, we like him better than the Jacksonville running backs. Do you like Frank Gore better than Heath? You said yes on this, but Damey, Frank Gore or Matt Forte?
Forte.
Frank Gore or Charles Sims?
Sims.
Gore.
All right, so Heath likes Gore a little bit more this week. T.Y. Hilton, top 10 wide receiver. Starter Sid Philip Dorsett against Jacksonville.
He's sneaky.
Very sneaky.
Their secondary is not good.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he's in that same range with Hurns and Parker.
Personally, disappointing last week.
I'd put him in between there. I'd say Parker's a little better and Hurns is a little worse. But there's a lot of receivers. You know, those sneaky slot guys like Crowder and Beasley, I feel like they're a little safer.
Okay.
They'll get more targets. I mean, look, last week's matchup is much more difficult than what he's going to face this week, especially if Mukamara is still out.
Could be a good daily fantasy play, Philip Dorsett. Yep. Which tight end do you like better for the Colts, Doyle or Allen?
I'll stick with Allen.
Are they both sits, though?
If you can avoid it, yes.
Yeah, Jacksonville has done well against tight ends. Very well, actually. They did allow a touchdown to Gates, but so far, so good.
Doyle has out-targeted Allen the last 2 weeks. Just by a little bit.
He's had more fantasy points in every game.
Yeah.
Tennessee is at Houston. Last year, Houston won both games 20-6 and 34-6. So I'm not sure that gives you much confidence in Tennessee. Let's start with Houston, though. You're starting DeAndre Hopkins. We talked about Will Fuller. We like him. All right. Is there any scenario that you could sit Lamar Miller, or do you feel good about him?
Oh, no, you're starting him.
Are you loaded at running back?
He's just been disappointing.
He hasn't had a big breakout game yet. That's true. But yeah, he's been a good contributor.
Okay, if you took DeMarco Murray in the fifth round and Melvin Gordon in the sixth and Lamar Miller in the first, I could see starting Murray and Gordon over him.
Yeah.
What about Blount or Miller?
What?
Blount or Miller?
Yeah. I'd rather have Miller.
I'd start Jeremy Hill over Lamar Miller this week, and I would start Carlos Hyde over him too.
All right, let's go to the Titans. You're not starting Marcus Mariota. DeMarco Murray, you are starting, although Dave has Murray 14th in standard, 9th in PPR.
He's going to eat this week with JJ Watt.
He should do a little better.
Okay. So you'll move him up a bit?
I think so.
Okay. He's top five guy.
Tajay Sharp, start or sit?
You're probably sitting him, but I could see him as a what the heck flex.
All right.
He's had 81 yards on 7 catches his last 2 weeks after he debuted with 76 yards on 7 catches in week one.
We know how this works. As soon as you give up on him, he's going to have a good week.
It's football for you.
So give up on him, Dave.
I've cut him in a couple of my leagues. I've picked up Kenneth Dixon and used that spot on Dixon or Wendell Smallwood.
Okay. And is Delanie Walker a must start if he plays?
Yes.
Yeah. With that position? Absolutely.
Like, would you start Ebron over him?
No.
Okay. And Houston's DST, even without J.J. Watt, they're 8th for Jamie, 5th for Dave, and 4th for Heath. And those rankings, by the way, can change throughout the week. So, they may have changed from by the time when I took these notes last night. So
they have.
They have. Okay. So just check out the rankings page. And by the way, I want to tell you more about Buffalo Wild Wings. No team goes into the season without a game plan. If they did, you know, game day highlights would be nothing more than a football follies compilation. While follies are hilarious, Buffalo Wild Wings knows fans prefer the taste of glory on game day, the kind of glory that comes with having 21 signature sauces and seasonings to choose from, or a great lineup of cold and refreshing beers on tap, or a collection of wall-to-wall flat screens so big it would make your head spin. We cover all of those details so they add up to the kind of game day experience fans can appreciate, and we do it because we appreciate the fans. So win or lose, if you're a fan, you still win at having the best game day atmosphere there is. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. We do it for you because you're a football fan. And football fans want to see Kansas City at Pittsburgh. I actually am quite excited for this game. You are starting Le'Veon Bell. He is a top three running back in both formats. And Ben Roethlisberger is 7th or 8th, depending on who you're looking at here. Are there any, like, would you start Kirk Cousins over Ben Roethlisberger?
I would not. No.
And Flacco, yes. You would, Jamie?
Yes.
Interesting.
Even though the Steelers have a new slot receiver.
Oh, Le'Veon?
Yeah. I like that, though. I think that's creative of Todd Haley. And we saw Bell and Williams play together in the preseason. It makes perfect sense. Are you really going to put Wheaton or Darius Heyward-Bey in the slot and trust them when you've got Le'Veon Bell who can make plays on catch and runs?
Right. Wheaton may not play, right?
Yeah, who knows? Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? So, also, something to keep an eye on. It doesn't really matter for fantasy, and it hasn't held up this year, but last year, the Chiefs gave up the fewest passing yards to running backs. Fewest receiving yards to running backs, excuse me. And they did well against Le'Veon Bell, but so far this year, they've struggled. Any Pittsburgh wide receivers other than Antonio Brown?
Le'Veon Bell.
Right. Starters at Jesse James.
Sit.
I've cut him.
Alex Smith, you know, you guys have him outside the top 20. Pittsburgh is, people pass all the time on Pittsburgh. They've seen the fourth most pass attempts, allowed the second most yards per game. They've given up big games to Kirk Cousins, 20 fantasy points, 25 to Carson Wentz. Alex Smith, you're not feeling it at all?
I think it's more of like a trust issue than anything else with Alex Smith.
Yeah, he's like, Alex Smith.
What situation do you have to be in where you'll look at Alex Smith going on the road at Pittsburgh and say, okay, let him loose?
Russell Wilson owner?
No.
I'd rather have Wilson.
Okay. Yeah, so we don't have to spend too much time on that. The Kansas City running backs, guys, just give me your overall thoughts.
Ware is kind of in that Forte situation where I don't really want to start him, but I'll probably end up doing it because I probably don't have two better running backs on my team.
How does it change if Jamal Charles does not play?
That's what I'm expecting.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And if it does, if he does play, both stay away from both.
Yep.
All right, that would make it easier.
I feel like Charles would be like a better flex play than a number two running back play. A lot of people are going to start him. They're going to do what they did with Gronk last week. Yeah. You say, "Oh, wait, he's active." You don't ever sit Jamaal Charles when he's active, and they'll put him right back in the lineups. I don't know if he's going to touch the ball that much.
No, I'd sit. I mean, I have Charles in one league, and I would start. I don't really feel great about Kristen Michael, but I would start Michael over Charles if Charles plays.
Well, that's an easy one. I'm in a tough spot where with bye weeks and Dez being hurt, I'm going to have to start Charles as a flex if he plays.
Okay.
Which I'm not, you know, terribly disappointed about. You know, hopefully there's some upside.
Right, it's not like you're starting a fullback.
But I would start Cole Beasley over Charles.
Yes.
And of
PPR?
Course,
yes.
Yeah. Of course, if there's a report that comes out that Charles is full go and he's going to start and get the full workload, that changes. But we're not expecting that. So that's why you have to watch Fantasy Football Today on Sunday morning, everybody. We talked about Jeremy Maclin. Travis Kelce, Heath likes him the best. Heath has him top five. Dave and Jamie say he's, you know, a borderline start. But I don't know. Most people are going to start Travis Kelce. So Buffalo's at New England here. Which quarterback do you like better in this game?
Tyrod.
Taylor. Okay.
For sure.
But
if Garoppolo was healthy, it'd be a different conversation.
Do you like Tyrod Taylor this week?
No.
But listen, if Garoppolo practices all week and it comes out that he's going to be the starter, I think I might take him over Tyrod.
Yeah, I would not.
Which running back do you like better in this game?
It's what? Over McCoy?
Yep.
I'll take Shady.
Yeah.
No, actually, I'll take Blunt. I've got Blunt retired. I'm sorry. I don't know what world I'm living in right now, but I've got Blunt 8 and McCoy 10.
Yeah, I will. I'll stick with Shady.
They're both starters. Actually, it's really hard to run at New England, but the guy who did the best last year was LeSean McCoy at 18 fantasy points. Forget about just running him. I mean, he obviously catches passes too, but McCoy had the best game of any running back in Foxborough last year. Rob Gronkowski, guys, you got to start him. He's top three tight end for you guys, top four in PPR.
Yeah. I'm nervous about it.
There was something he said about playing this week and saying that he's closer to being full go, but I could try and find it real quick if you want me to, but I'm not sure he's at 100% yet.
But you're still ranking him in the top four, Gronkowski.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if Brissett is playing and Gronkowski is less than 100%, it's scary.
Oh, yeah, it's scarier to set your lineup with a backup tight end and see Gronk on your bench.
If that's Ebron, though, I'd, you know.
Depends what you're looking at, though. Like, I have Gronk in a couple two leagues, I think, where I don't want to carry a second tight end when he's healthy.
Yeah.
So here's the quote, Adam. Question was asked him, how careful do you have to be with a hamstring injury? As if it doesn't heal, it's always going to bother you. He says he's got to be careful. You do the research on hamstrings, you know you've got to be careful. And then he said, quote, you can't just hop back in and be full go 100%. I wish it was like that. I can't wait until I'm going crazy out there again.
Freaking crazy.
So I'm just progressing myself into it and feeling better every single day.
The quote in the Boston Globe was, I can't wait till I'm going freaking crazy out there again.
Well, then maybe he didn't say, they must have omitted freaking from the.
The Boston Globe, they take liberties. They had freaking in the quotes all the time. They're known for that. But I think, just kidding. Gronkowski, Kyle Rudolph. Would you play it safe and go with Kyle Rudolph?
I think I might in a PPR.
I would not.
I wouldn't.
All right. Any New England wide receivers in this game that you're interested in?
Who's starting at quarterback?
Garoppolo.
I'd be a little more interested in Edelman, but he'd still be a third receiver for me.
Yeah, at best.
What about Sammy Watkins if he plays? Would you start him?
No.
All right.
He's a borderline flex.
This game's pretty easy then. At least Buffalo. McCoy's the only one I really like.
BLF.
Seattle at the Jets. Seattle on the East Coast last year. They lost 27-24 at Cincinnati, which is not exactly the East Coast. They beat Baltimore 35-6. They lost 31-24 at Carolina in the playoffs. They gave up 24 offensive points in that game and a pick six. I don't know what we really haven't covered in this game. Who's your favorite wide receiver in this game in Jets Seahawks?
Baldwin.
Baldwin Doug.
Mm-hmm. All right, but let's talk more about Baldwin. How much do you like him this week? Would you start him? I hope I didn't ask this. Baldwin or Travis Benjamin?
Baldwin.
Yeah, I'm going with Baldwin.
Benjamin. Hashtag Saints.
Baldwin or Diggs?
I have Diggs one spot higher.
I've got Baldwin a few spots higher. And as far as the Saints go, like, we know their offense is not quite as good when they're on the road. Is their defense somehow better on the road, though?
No. I don't think the defense is good anywhere.
Because they weren't terrible against the Giants.
They were terrible against the Giants. They just didn't give up
the
touchdowns.
The Giants made a bunch of mistakes. The Giants had all these almost touchdowns, Heath. Come
they
on.
They did.
Oh, okay.
They lead the league. No, okay. Heath, I think there's a point there. I kind of felt that way last year, that they were better outdoors, their defense.
Short week, long road trip.
Yeah, that's
Chargers left a lot of points on the board with three fumbles. Benjamin's going to get a ton of targets in this game. I love Travis Benjamin this week.
Okay. We spoke about these Jets and Seahawks running backs. All right, let's talk about Quincy Enunwa. Let's assume Eric Decker misses the game. How do you approach that number two Jets receiver?
You got to like the volume. You'd have to look at him as a number three receiver.
Yeah. Yeah. Borderline top 30.
Over Hearns?
Yes.
All right. Quincy Enunwa or Tyler Lockett?
Enunwa is safer.
I play Enunwa now as the third receiver.
Over Lockett because Lockett's been so bad. Yeah. If Lockett were healthier and actually like had a target last week, I would consider him a sneaky play.
If they were throwing the ball in his direction.
Right. The deep ball seems to be an attractive option for offenses against the Jets, and
especially
that's what Lockett
hurt.
Can do. But if he's not 100% and if he's not playing a lot on offense, then I don't see how you can feel confident starting him.
Okay, guys, Jimmy Graham is number 13 for Jamie, number 9 for Heath and Dave, and that's in standard, number 13 for Jamie in PPR, number 7 for Dave, and number 9 for Heath in PPR league. So he's a start or borderline start. Your level of confidence in Jimmy Graham on a scale of 0 to 10 is what this week?
It is, let's call it, I'm going to my cheat sheet right now to look it up because there's actually a number.
Yeah, there
is.
I enjoy that.
You do?
Yeah, I like the cheat sheet.
6.2.
Okay, there you go. Heath?
I think he's a very good streaming option, and he's not fast, but he's big, and the targets have been there recently.
I'll say 3 unless we're grading on a curve for the fact that he's a tight end, and then 7.
Yeah, the Jets have only faced one.
A curve for a tight end.
Jets have only faced one good tight end this year, and it was Kelce, and he had 6 catches, 89 yards, and a touchdown. Also, keep in mind, Graham had 3 double-digit fantasy point games last year. He followed those 3 up with 1 point, 2 points, and 3 points. So very inconsistent last year. We're hoping for more consistency this year. Oakland's at Baltimore, guys. Let's do 5 minutes on the next 2 games so we can read a lot of emails. We spoke about the quarterbacks. Derek Carr is number 11. Joe Flacco is number 10. The Oakland running backs. This is a stat that Heath will scoff at, and I probably would too, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you take away Isaiah Crowell's 85-yard touchdown run, Baltimore's actually been pretty darn good against running backs. 3.6 yards per carry for McCoy, 2.7 for Crowell without that run, 2.8 for Yeldon, 1.2 for Ivory. So tell me about the Oakland running backs and if you have any faith in them.
The biggest concern I have with the Raiders running backs is how much work they're getting. And Latavius Murray is a guy who continues to not get enough work from week to week. He had like 11 touches last week.
So frustrating.
Yes.
And like 14 or 15 the weeks before. So I don't know if it's the coaches just really don't like Latavius Murray, but he's making plays.
He's touchdown dependent, which is awful.
Yeah, this is not the best. I know they've allowed a couple of touchdowns this year. I don't know if I want to trust Latavius Murray on the road. Long trip, second week in a row to score a touchdown.
Yeah, but this week you can't bench him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Who else do I have?
There are scenarios, clearly, where you can bench him, but
right.
I think most people are looking at it like, man, I'm stuck.
I'd still rather start him over Forte.
I've got Forte ahead of him.
It's close for me, just matchup-wise, but yeah.
Gosh, eventually...
That's the scenario you're dealing with right now.
I just feel like he's going to get the work eventually. I have no idea when it's going to come.
One of two things is going to happen. He's going to get the work eventually, or he's going to turn into a bad fantasy option because of this volume. He can't continue to be a good fantasy option. And
if he doesn't score, the numbers are awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it too late to call him a sell high?
I don't know that he is a sell high, because if he gets the work, he could be really good.
That's a big if.
It is.
We've had a sample size of 3 weeks. He hasn't gotten it.
All right. We like Amari Cooper. We like Michael Crabtree as, you know, number two, number three receiver. Jamie made the case for Crabtree to have a good week. Clive Walford outside the top 16. You don't want to start him. The Baltimore running backs, you know, Oakland's been awful against the run. 5.1 yards per carry, most in the NFL. So if you're desperate for a running back, do you have any faith in Forsett or Terrence West?
No and no. I'm curious. I'm still waiting for them to activate Buck Allen.
Would you
not
start,
that I would start him.
Dave,
I know it's the stupidest thing in the world, but like,
these two guys suck. The other guy that they think is worse might be good
at this point. Why wouldn't they?
Would you start Justin Forsett over Orleans Darkwa?
Absolutely. 100%.
Yes. All right.
So, and I think Forsett's a decent flex option.
I think he's a sneaky sleeper this week because, you know, Harbaugh came out publicly and said, we got to do a better job running the ball. He knows Dixon's potentially a week away. I wouldn't be surprised just given the matchup. Tired defense, second straight road game, long road trip, early start. Things just are set up for him, one of these guys, to do well. It's just the problem is which one. It's like Jacksonville. Which one's the better one and who can you trust?
Well, which one is the better one between two really crappy ones? And how's that offensive line for Baltimore again? Or is the left side going to be healthy, or is it going to be banged up?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think it's a big risk.
There's just one of those situations where that's the word risk.
Are you starting any Baltimore wide receivers?
Wallace is a flex.
Yeah, Wallace is the third guy.
Dennis Pitta or Kobe Fleener?
Kobe
Fleener.
Pitta.
Dennis Pitta or a Colts tight end?
Pitta.
Pitta.
Dennis Pitta or Julius Thomas?
Pitta.
Thomas.
Okay. Saints at Chargers, start the quarterbacks. They're both in the top four. Start the running backs. They're both in the top 15. And is there any, I mean, this game is awesome. Is there anyone you wouldn't start in this game, in fantasy?
The DSTs.
It'll depend on if Willie Snead plays.
Tyrell Williams. Let's talk about Tyrell Williams. How do you feel about him? Would you start Tyrell Williams or Mike Wallace?
Williams.
Michael Wallace. I think there's a chance, and we'll see if the trend continues this week, but I believe that Williams has played more snaps and seen more targets than Benjamin the last 2 weeks.
Well, I'll tell you on the targets right now, Benjamin's had 13 the last 2 weeks and Williams has had 15. Yeah. But Benjamin's had more catches and yards.
Yeah.
And touchdowns.
Okay. How about Tyrell Williams or Matt Forte?
Forte.
I'll take Williams PPR.
Okay. And the San Diego tight ends. New Orleans actually been pretty good against tight ends this year. Fourth fewest fantasy points. No tight end has scored more than 2 fantasy points against New Orleans. And, you know, We made the mistake last week with Tammy.
Right. They look at the other tight ends they played. Clive Walford almost had a touchdown in week 1. The Giants guys, I believe Danelle almost had a touchdown too. Right. And I don't know if Tammy almost had a touchdown in week 3. So maybe this is a week Hunter Henry almost catches a touchdown.
If Gates is out, I'm starting Henry.
Yeah, I think he's a good low-end starter. I like him better than Graham.
Ooh. All right. Fellas, let's read some emails. This is from Eric. Where is Eric from?
Rapid City, South Dakota.
You're giving the company to Eric? All right. 10-team standard.
Eric?
10-team standard scoring league. Carlos Hyde, Mike Evans, or Charles Sims at flex? Carlos Hyde, Mike Evans, or Charles Sims?
I've got Hyde and Evans back to back in my flex rankings.
Yeah.
I'll go with Hyde.
I think the opportunity is better for Hyde.
Start of the week.
Ooh, okay. Nick from San Antonio. I dropped my kicker. Now I have to drop someone else from this group. Jordan Howard, Matt Jones, Frank Gore, Rashad Jennings, Jeremy Maclin, Jordan Matthews. Let me read it again. Drop one. Jordan Howard, Matt Jones, Frank Gore, Rashad Jennings, Jeremy Maclin, Jordan Matthews. Who you dropping?
Do we know if it's a PPR league?
No.
That would actually help make the decision.
No, I don't. So give me a standard and a PPR.
I think the answer is the same either way, but it's like a slam dunk that you cut Jennings if it's a PPR league. And if it's a non-PPR league, I would lean toward Jennings.
Your roster is chock full of mediocre running backs. You don't need one more. I'd cut Jennings.
Okay.
What if you just cut Matthews this weekend, though, and just try to get him back next week? He's going to buy.
That's a horrible idea.
Jordan Matthews
would be like the number one waiver claim in that league.
You don't know where you are on waivers.
I'd pick him up. I don't think that would work.
If you were driving in your blank runner, you would definitely pick him.
This is from Dandridge from Topeka, Kansas. Not really, but that's where Dave will say I'm from. Trying to decide if I should put Mike Evans or Isaiah Crowell in my flex. What do you think?
I'd go Evans. I know it's a great matchup for Crowell, but I feel like you're taking a risk by leaving Evans out of your lineup. Can't you start both? Like, how good are your receivers if you can't start Mike Evans?
I'm laughing because I said Carlos Hyde and Mike Evans were back to back in my flex rankings. Crowell's the next guy after him.
Wow.
So I'll say Evans.
Evans.
All right.
I can't wait to talk about Crowell tomorrow.
John from a small town in Michigan wants to pick up somebody off waivers to replace Dez Bryant. Who should he drop? He's the Le'Veon Bell owner. Should he drop D'Angelo Williams, Eric Decker, Moncrief, Jameis, Watkins, Chris Ivory, or Dennis Pitta?
Aren't you leaning toward Ivory at this point?
Or Moncrief, just because he may have a better chance. Playing.
No, Pitta. Pitta's my second tight end. I'm dropping Pitta.
You could trade Pitta.
Who? I don't think you can trade Pitta.
Why?
Because what are you going to get for him?
I mean, if he's better tight end than probably.
I'd rather have the Vikings.
Pitta's had one good game. It came against Cleveland.
Well, he's had two games. He had 20 targets his last two games.
All right, look, you might be right about Pitta.
All right, everybody, trade Jamie Dennis Pitta.
You might be right about Pitta going forward. I just don't know that he has trade value right now because he's only had one good game.
I'm dropping Ivory. He sucks.
Ivory before
he plays on a bad team.
I'd cut a second tight end before a running back.
I would snip Ivory.
All right. This is from Zach. Last trade, last one here from Zach. Give up Beckham, get Marvin Jones and Dwayne Washington. Give up Beckham, get Marvin Jones and Dwayne Washington.
See,
and he's 0-3.
I'd rather have Doug Baldwin and Devontae Freeman.
Me too. This is an 0-3 team.
It's not enough. It's not enough for Odell Beckham.
What is the trade? Beckham for who?
Marvin Jones,
Marvin
and, Dwayne
Jones
Washington.
And Dwayne Washington. Two lines.
Not enough. Barely worse than your trade.
Our trade was fine. I feel fine about it.
Good. I'm glad you do.
Yeah. That's it for the show, guys. Thank you very much. I'm very excited for the game tonight. I think it's going to be... I don't know how it's going to go. The Dolphins could get absolutely embarrassed.
I don't know,
man. Like, they played great at Seattle. They never play well in Foxborough, but they made that a game. And then they beat the Browns. So I'm going to say Bengals by 4.
34-3.
Not bad. I'll say 24-14. And now.
No, we're done. No way.
To wrap up the podcast.
Not happening anymore. Yesterday was so bad that I just can't do it anymore. I was embarrassed. So that was that. Yesterday was not my finest show. So let's make Thursdays better than Wednesday and just end it on a good note. We're back tomorrow with the NFC home games for Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg, Keith Cummings. I'm Adam Azer. See you later.
Bye.